Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The Texans live to dance another dance as they go to Arrowhead to play the Chiefs in the divisional round. We're going to talk about that and more on this edition of The Bullpen. Hello and welcome to The Bullpen. As always, I am James Roy. With me is Tom Chevrier. Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm pumped. I'm excited. You know, I don't know what everyone thought, how this playoffs would go for the Texans. I know the way the season ended, people were, you know, cautiously optimistic. I don't know who used those words, but I know some people use those words.
I use those words, so I feel a little attacked. Thank you.
But hey, I'm excited. You know, the Texans get another opportunity at Kansas City, a team that they're going to have to learn to conquer if they're going to get somewhere in the AFC. So why not do it now?
If you're coming for the crown, you got to take down the king. And I mean, that's what's standing in the way of the Texans and moving on. I, you know, don't want to get ahead of myself, but realistically, the other matchup in the AFC will matter this weekend too, as to how I feel about the Texans' chances of moving further. But right now they're going to Arrowhead. I don't want to do that thing that everyone was doing at the beginning of the season for the Texans, where they were like, look at the season that they had in 23. Like, this is a Super Bowl team, and like overreacting and then overcorrecting throughout the season. So like, the Texans won. They played really well against the Chargers. I think that anyone with a brain thought that was going to be a good matchup, and I think the Texans took it in another direction and said, oh, no, we're like a lot better team than the Chargers that day, right? And so really hyped to see them move on. I'm tempering my expectations. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, now they're going to take down the Chiefs, and then they're going to go down and then go into Buffalo and take down the Bills, or go into Baltimore and take down the Ravens or whatever. I'm kind of trying to keep a level head here. What is the vibe for you going into this divisional matchup?
For me, I just want to see him play good football. You know, I've always had this mentality about this season that as long as we saw, you know, positive growth, it's year two. And I know some people were Super Bowl or bust. Some people were AFC Championship. Some people felt X, Y, or Z. I feel like this has been a positive season for the Texans in the fact that they got guys to come in here that a lot of people did not see being Texans, and they've played really good football against some really good teams. They've had a couple of games that weren't great, and now you get to see them, you know, get round two with the Chiefs, a game that felt like it was very much in doubt for three quarters and then kind of got away from the Texans in the fourth quarter. I really feel like this is an opportunity for the Texans to prove they belong in the same class with, you know, the top four teams in the AFC. So for me, yes, I'd love to see them win. That would be the Cinderella story in the NFL this season, I think. Maybe not, maybe so, I don't know. I think. And you know, if they don't, I think that there is still moves they can make, things they can do to bridge that gap further. For me, it's just exciting because I really feel like this Texan team is only going to get better. This is the start of something, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I mean, I've made a lot of comparisons between the Texans and the 07 Giants, and one of the big differences between this team and that team is the Giants were like the sixth seed. But I would argue that the Texans going into this were power in the power rankings as the worst, if not one of the worst teams going into this playoff. So I think that there's still merit to that comparison. I think that anything they do here, I don't want to say it's icing on the cake or, you know, just, you know, a little extra at the end, because this team definitely had Super Bowl aspirations going into this season. And I think that if we're seeing, like we saw last week, this Texans team turn it on offense, that we now have to look at them as someone who could make that run and do what needs to be done to get to the Super Bowl. But the AFC is really tough to get out of, so I'm not trying to like set my expectations too high. I don't want to ruin my weekend by feeling, you know, like, oh, that's a guaranteed win. But I do like the Texans' chances, and I said that against the Chargers. I'll say that pretty much any week that I can, unless I just really don't feel it. And I think if anyone's listened to me talk extensively about the Texans, they know that the only team that could do that is probably the Ravens. So if the AFC Championship game was to shape up to where it was the Texans and the Ravens, you might not get that story from me, but I feel like the Texans can contend with just about any other team. And that's why I'm very adamant that their path through this playoff needs to have a few things go their way, namely just not having to play the Ravens. But let's talk about Kansas City. This is a team that got the bye week. I don't want to say they might be rusty, but you know, they've been sitting for a minute. They're the only AFC West team remaining in the playoffs because the other two lost at the hands of the Texans and the Bills. What do you think is different between the last time these teams met and now, if anything?
I really feel like this team got healthy. I don't think the Texans defense looked like this. Azeez Alshire was at the watch party I was at when they last played. He'll be in attendance. He'll be dressed for this football game.
He'll be in attendance to the game this time.
So, you know, there's that. I think they've gotten, you know, over Tank Dell, losing Tank Dell in that game. You know, obviously I don't have to tell you how, you know, CJ looked. I mean, guy was really busted up about it. The offense kind of looked busted up after that. You know, you had to kind of figure out where to go with the football when it wasn't Nico, when it wasn't Joe Mixon. Obviously, we saw a little bit of Deontay Johnson in this last game. We saw a little bit of Deontay Johnson in the game before. You're starting to see more of John Mechie. You're starting to see more of Xavier Hutchinson. I feel like you're starting to see CJ be comfortable with these guys a little bit, which is good. Those are the big things for me. I think the defense was kind of, you know, hit in the mouth a couple times by a team that's just well coached and has been there before and done it all. They were motivated to get their bye week, so they played that way. I think the Texans are definitely gonna, you know, look back on that experience and go, okay, these are the things we've learned, and I feel like it'll be a really competitive game.
Yeah, before we go, so to give you some context of the time that this is being recorded, just got the news that dropped. The Texans will be playing at 4:30 Eastern, so 3:30 Central, on Saturday.
Stop it.
Against the Chiefs. That is the time that Ari Myrov, my NFL update, the one of the few acceptable aggregators on Twitter, has put out as being the time that the Texans will play. So they put the Bills and the Ravens in primetime on Sunday, and they put the Commanders and the Lions in primetime on Saturday.
So I understand that. I really do. But gosh, you got, you know, the Chiefs and they don't get a primetime slot. That's crazy.
I mean, I've spoken to this. This now makes it two out of four that the Texans have played. So it's a 50-50 chance on the divisional round weekend that the Texans get the Saturday, you know, Texan time slot that they normally get on the wild card weekend. And so I guess they decided they wanted to keep that up. The league probably saw everyone talking about it and said, oh, we'll keep it up. This'll be a good talking point. I don't know. Or maybe that's how schedules worked out. I'm not really sure. But I like it. I think the Texans play their best football at that time period of the day. I don't know if that's like everyone's fresh off their nap. That's what we used to say when I coached junior peewee, we would always say, why are they scheduling us for a game at like noon? That's when all the kids are going to be groggy. All the kids are going to probably should be sleeping or something. And they're here playing a football game. And you'd notice the difference in how those kids would play. Obviously NFL players are adults. So I don't know if that has as much of an effect. But yeah, I mean, to speak to what's different, I mean, I think that you hit the nail on the head between Azeez Al-Shaair and what the Texans have. I don't think that much has changed for the Chiefs, except for that it's the playoffs. So, I mean, if that's enough to tip the scale, that's enough to tip the scale. Playoffs, everyone plays different in the playoffs. The Chiefs have been pretty good so far at playing really good football in the postseason. That's the reason they have so many Super Bowls. Since Patrick Mahomes has been with the team, and you know, with Andy Reid being at the head coach helm. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is a good game. There's nothing really that could surprise me about this game. And I don't want to give anyone here a PTSD flash, but like Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid were on and coaching this team, coaching and playing quarterback for this team in 2019. When that fateful divisional matchup happened between the Texans and the Chiefs. So there's not very many things that could surprise me. If the Texans go up by a lot to start, or if they have a really good start, you're not going to see me circling the wagons and saying that it's on to the AFC Championship game. I'm going to wait until the clock hits zero before I say anything about the result of this game. So I'll be interested to see how it goes. Looking internally at the Texans, you brought up a good point with the Tank Dell injury. Do you think maybe, because humans are human, right? And so we talked about the human element of the Texans Chargers game in terms of like the fires that are going on in LA and how that could affect the players' performance on the field. CJ was really taken aback emotionally during that game, watching what happened to Tank Dell. Do you think that going back to Arrowhead could impact him mentally in a way?
I don't think so. I mean... If it does, he won't tell you that. I think he's been playing football his whole life. Injuries are a part of the game. I don't think he's had that scenario play out somewhere and then had an issue playing in that same building or venue or whatever. If anything, I wonder if that's something that they'll rally to. You know, like, hey, we can do this for Tank. You know, in the place where he got hurt, like win this one for him, you know, like, I mean, that sounds like a Disney movie or a Hallmark movie right there.
I mean, I would hope that's the case. I would hope that at the end of the day, they rally around it. There's some people that are like, well, this is a revenge game. I'm like, well, the Chiefs remember it. But I mean, none of these Texans players outside of maybe Laremy Tunsil were on the team when this happened. So it's like a whole different ball game, realistically. In terms of like how this could go. So I don't think they're putting much weight on that. So I think one of the big motivators, if we're looking outside of it's your job to win a football game and Super Bowls sound like fun, you know, doing it for Tank, I think is a good motivator, if anything. But we'll see how CJ handles it. I mean, CJ wears his emotions on his sleeve. I don't think he's afraid to, you know, work through that, you know, and obviously, he's been very open about his relationship with God, so I think that's something that could help him work through that. So I'm hopeful that it's not something that impacts his performance. But as a human, I mean, I would understand it. But as a football fan, I'd really hope that he could work through it, because I'd really like to see the Texans continue to play football in this winter go home matchup. Not to be insensitive, but there's a couple of other, you know, looking at the Chargers, there was a few former Texans. The former Texans on this Chiefs team, DeAndre Hopkins, Justin Reed, Charles Omenihu, What do you make of those? Do you think there's any significance there? Is there going to be any like bad blood, or do you think it's kind of like I said with the no one on this team was on the 2019 team, so like it probably it doesn't really matter.
I don't think there was any of that. I mean, outside of Charles Omeni, who he was very adamant that, you know, he felt the Texans did him some kind of way. The other two guys really spoke highly of the Texans, so I don't see that being a big factor. I don't know how much of a factor Charles Omeni is going to be. So, I think he's a really good player. I wouldn't call him a leader or anything like that, but I think he's good. And I'm being serious. I don't know that neither of those guys. I don't think that's going to be a story that's going to be told. I don't think that anybody's going to really harp on that. It's going to be about Patrick Mahomes versus CJ Stroud and how the Chiefs handled him, you know, a month ago.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging. It's often your hormones, too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that if anything, for me, right, if we're looking at the past and we're looking at what has happened, you know, for me, the significance of this game is that if CJ Stroud, so it's not been a lot, right? I'm not going to sit here and act like everyone on Texans Twitter is like, I miss Deshaun Watson. But you get the occasional, like, when CJ's having a bad game and someone goes, man, I remember when we had a real quarterback. And some of those people are probably joking, but like, there's been at least one or two where I'm like, dude, are you seriously? We're in a good spot. CJ's the guy. Deshaun, I don't miss him. But I'll tell you this. I will not accept hearing anyone in the Texans fan base talk about Deshaun Watson if CJ Stroud wins this game. If CJ Stroud goes out and leads a win in this very similar situation, takes the Texans further than they've ever been before against a team that literally came back from down 24-0 to ruin the chances of Deshaun Watson doing that, I would ban that word. I would ban that word from being used by anyone. We're not going to say the dude's name ever again, even in jest. I don't want to hear the words Deshaun Watson ever again if CJ Stroud leads the Texans to a win in this game. That's my thoughts on the past and how it impacts this game. But looking at the Texans as a team, it feels like they're kind of at this crossroads of like, obviously we've discussed, you know, the expectation has fluctuated a lot this season, but this is a Texans team that has won the division twice in a row, back-to-back AFC South champions, Brian, you know, and has put together a pretty significant start to what could be a good run for this team. But it feels like this is probably going to be where the Texans are at for the next several years. Like, it's the divisional round. Insert AFC contender here is who the Texans have to beat to move on. What do you think changes if the Texans win this game? Like, if they go in and win this game, is there some ramifications in the future in terms of like how this is viewed? Or do you think on the flip side, if the Texans lose this game, that it maybe sets you down this path of like, this is as far as we're ever going to be. The Texans were not designed to move further. Or like, how do you think that the results of this game could impact the future?
I really don't look at it like that. I mean, I think there was a really interesting point that was made in the Chargers game by the broadcast team, that the last Chargers playoff win was in 2018 over then a Baltimore team that was led by Lamar Jackson. So we're talking about 6 years prior, and Lamar hasn't got over the hump yet. So I think when you put that into perspective, you really kind of have to understand that, yes, there are guys like Patrick Mahomes that just figure it out right away. The team comes together right away and they win. And they just have sustained success for a long period of time. But there are guys like Josh Allen. There are guys like Lamar Jackson that are still trying to get there, that are competing for MVP. And you know, their teams are really well positioned to win. And this coming week, one of those guys is going to go home. And the questions are going to be like, all right, can they get over the hump? And for the Texans, I feel like they're going to have to answer those questions too. I just don't know that I'm ready to place this big expectation on them in year two. I feel like there's some time for them to retool and build and build. I mean, Baltimore did it. Like, you know, they've had a couple seasons where they looked good in parts and everybody's like, hey, Lamar's ready to go. And they run into Kansas City or they run into Buffalo or Miami was good for a stretch. Cincy was good for a stretch and they get knocked out. So I love that the Texans are at least getting a seat at the table right now. And I think when you look at what D'Amico's doing and Nick Casario's doing, I think the more they build on top of it, the better they can be and go further and eventually maybe represent, you know, the AFC in a Super Bowl. But I don't necessarily look at it and go, well, if they get housed on Saturday, you know, oh, this team can't do it, or you know, they're not capable. You know, if they play close and lose, I'm not going to go, well, next year they have to do it. They got this close and have to do it. Because you've seen it around the league where there's been teams, there's been guys. The Lions is a perfect example. They look like a lock to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. They could turn around and lose on Sunday. And then, I mean, that's going to be a really good football game with the Commanders. And then they're going to be talking about Jaden Daniels as like the next it guy, because he took down the big bad Lions. So for me, I just loved it that what we're talking about now is the Texans having sustained success. I would think for the life of our quarterback, you know, as long as CJ is a Texan, I feel like they've got a chance and they can build around him however they choose to do it. And we could be talking about every year, hey, CJ and Nico, that, and however else you do it. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, I think that this team, a win or lose, they're in a really good spot. I do think that winning this season maybe gets them a more firm seat at the table as contenders. But if a loss, like unless they get absolutely crushed, I think doesn't remove them from that. I think that there's room, and I believe Nick can retool the team and get them into a better spot. And then obviously there's the elephant in the room of how the offense is being run and who knows how they go about fixing the offensive issues on this team if they persist. But, I mean, the offense is hitting its stride at just the right time. So I think that this is going to be a good game. I think the Texans have a good chance to win.
I have a question for you.
Throughout the episode. What's up?
I have a question for you. You've made references to Bobby Slowick the last two episodes, this one and the one after the Chargers game. So if the Texans lose a close football game, and if CJ endorses Bobby Slowick. Are you prepared to go, that's great, CJ?
I don't think Bobby Slowick needs CJ Stroud's endorsement. I think Bobby Slowick, his job is super safe. I think that the Texans fandom and the way they view Bobby Slowick is so incredibly different from the way that he is viewed by the front office and by the coaching staff, that it would take a team hiring him as their head coach or CJ Stroud himself saying, I need a new offensive coordinator, get me a new offensive coordinator. And I don't think the latter is going to happen. So, I'm not fully confident that there's another team that thinks he's going to be a head coach material. So I think the Texans are, I don't think the Texans are moving on from Bobby Slowick this offseason unless they get absolutely obliterated and the offense just is super inept in this game against the Chiefs or at any point in the postseason. If they were given a lot of evidence to believe that that was the case, but I don't think they believe they have enough evidence to move on. I think that Bobby Slowick, they're like, second-year coordinator, took a step back. We got to give him his third year. And to his credit, I mean, I think that we saw against the Chargers that I said it. I mean, it was mostly CJ that was the issue for the first half against the Chargers until he turned it on and figured it out. So, I mean, realistically, this postseason, I haven't had a complaint about Bobby Slowick that I would count against him and how I view him as a coaching, as the Texans offensive coordinator moving forward. And I don't think that the organization themselves believe that they need to move on from him. I could be wrong. But I think that a lot of Texans fans need to prepare to be disappointed if they think that Bobby Slowick is going to get, you know, move on from the Texans anyway, you know, that involves firing him or the Texans deciding that he's not, you know, the guy. I think that he remains the guy in their eyes unless he's hired on somewhere else.
Okay, you said all of that. And I said, what do you want, sir?
What do I want? I want what's best for this Texans offense. And I think I've said it before consistently. I think the root cause is the offensive line. And so that's another thing that's played significantly better in this current combination that it's in. So that could lead us to also not adjusting the offensive line this offseason if it continues that way, unless they get blown out. But as for me, I don't care if they move on from Bobby Slowick or not, as long as they address the offensive line in some meaningful way. They don't have to draft a starter or sign a starter. They just have to, I feel like they have to make a move, draft like a developmental guy. I don't know, make some sort of move on from the offensive line coach if things go poorly in the postseason. But I think, I don't think that there's need to move on from Bobby necessarily. I think that maybe this postseason will show that he's made the progress that we wanted him to make in the regular season. But I'm not on team fire Bobby Slowick quite yet. This offseason, I think I've touched that side of things for a second, but I'm not on that side right now. So, yeah. All right. Well, we got one more thing to do before we bring this episode to a close, and that is the score prediction. So, Tom, what are you thinking?
I want to pick the Texans.
Yeah.
So you know that whole thing where your heart says one thing, your head says the other.
Yeah.
My head 100% says that Kansas City's going to win by 6 points. That's my head says 23-17. But I'm not giving you the prediction with
well, you just did, but I want to hear what your heart is saying.
That's what I'm saying. Forget that one. You heard it.
Out of my brain. What score prediction?
Me, 24-21 Texans, Fairbairn, 57-yarder for the win.
I like it. I think that's solid. I think it does go against the general tendencies with Fairbairn, where he generally doesn't play as well outside. It's cold, could be windy. I don't know what the temperature's looking like in KC at this point, but I like it. I like it because the Texans win. And I know that the playoffs are going to be stressful, so I don't really care that it's a stressful game. For me, I really got to work because this has got to be a really good storybook ending. I think that the offense turns the page. I think the Texans offense puts up more points. I think that the KC offense answers in some way. I think that I don't want to say it becomes a shootout, but I think that maybe it's a little more high scoring on both sides. I'm going to go with not like super high scoring, right? But I'm going to give the Chiefs as many points as you gave the Texans. And I'm going to put the Texans at I'll put them at 31. So for the storybook ending, it'll be 24-24 with like 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And the Chiefs will have the ball and they'll just be – they'll be driving. They're eating the clock and they are moving down the field. And it looks like Patty Mahomes is about to put the Chiefs in field goal range and set up a signature, you know, eat the clock, get the win, leave with the dub. And they're just outside field goal range. They've moved towards closer to the 2 minute warning. And then Mahomes drops back and throws a pretty routine throw. And he's just trying to get, you know, get it to his guy. And wouldn't you know it, Derek Stingley's right there. And he takes it. And by some stretch of luck, the Chiefs manage to trip him up. And then while the Texans are, they're not trying to like score a touchdown per se, they kind of want to set up the field goal, but the Chiefs have all three timeouts. So like the Texans are pushing, they're inside in the red zone and, you know, there's not very much space to get a first down and not get a touchdown. So they move in and, Joe Mixon breaks one into the end zone. And then, you know, there's like a minute 30 left and you're like, man, this is it. Patrick Mahomes is going to tie it. And we're going to overtime. And then Patrick Mahomes just can't do it. They turn the ball over on downs just outside of they drive pretty deep down the field, but they're like, they fall short in like the Texans 30 yard line or something with no time. Yeah, there it is. There is my my storybook ending, not my last storybook ending, because the Texans are going to win. So, and when the Texans win, there will be another storybook ending. I'm going to keep doing that. I did that when we previewed the Chargers matchup. I'm like, it's not the end. It's not the end. But yeah, this, any final thoughts before we bring this thing to a close, Tom?
So for people that are wondering, the Weather Channel app on my phone has the weather as 28 degrees is the high and 11 degrees is the low with a 9% chance of precipitation. So
probably better that this is a 3:30 game. Maybe we can get most of it out of the way before it gets to 11 degrees.
Winds, out of the north, 10 to 20 miles an hour. So not crazy.
Not crazy, but still wind. I don't know what direction the stadium faces, so I don't know if that would challenge Kiami, but yeah. And I've spoken to it. This is the first true challenge. It's like everyone talked about how they thought the Chargers were going to beat the Texans in Houston. The Texans outside of Houston in the playoffs have never won a playoff game. So interested to see them go against the number one seed Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead in that weather. I'm not going to say anything more about it because otherwise I'm going to sound pessimistic. Because I'm an optimistic guy. I think the Texans can win this game. So with that, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to the Bullpen. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you're locked into this contest. I got a hat contest going on Instagram. You could be one of two people to win a fitted hat from the Fitted Dad. Your pick of his Texan selection that is in stock shipped to you. If you win, and that's only if the Texans win, will there be a drawing for a winner? That's the stipulation. So make sure you're in on that. You can find us wherever you find your podcast. I've been James Roy, and you can find me at James Roy NFL on Instagram and Twitter. Tom is at Third Coast Tom on Twitter and TC Tom One on Instagram. And we have been the Bullpen. As always, stay classy, Houston, and vamos Texans.
Thanks for tuning into The Bullpen, a Texans podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe, and follow along for more Texans talk from The Bullpen.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. We'll be right back. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.